1914. My dear sister, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and most of our men are asleep in their dugouts. Yet I couldn't sleep myself before writing to you of the wonderful events of this Christmas Eve. In truth, what happened all seems almost like a fairy tale. If I hadn't been through it myself, I would scarce believe it. During the day, there was little shelling or rifle fire from either side. And as darkness fell on our Christmas Eve, the shooting stopped entirely. Our first complete silence for months. We hoped it might promise a peaceful holiday, but we didn't count on it. We'd been told the Germans might attack and try to catch us off guard. I went to the dugout to rest. And lying in my cot, I must have drifted asleep. All at once, my friend John was shaking me awake, saying, come and see what the Germans are doing. I grabbed my rifle, stumbled out into the trench, and stuck my head cautiously above the sandbags. I never hoped to see a stranger and more lovely sight. Clusters of tiny lights were shining all along the German line, left, right, as far as the eye could see. What is it? I asked in bewilderment, and John answered, Christmas trees. And so it was. The Germans had placed Christmas trees in front of their trenches, lit by candle or lantern-like beacons of goodwill. And then we heard their voices raised in song. Singing the same words in Latin. Adeste fidelis. British and German harmonizing across no man's land. I would have thought nothing could be more amazing. But what came next was more so. English, come over, we heard one of them shout. You don't shoot, we don't shoot. There in the trenches, we looked at each other in bewilderment. Then one of us shouted jovially, you come over here! To our astonishment, we saw two figures rise from the trench, climb over the barbed wire, and advance unprotected across no man's land. One of them called, send officers! Germans halfway. We heard them talking. A few minutes later, the captain came back with a German cigar in his mouth. We've agreed that we no more shooting until midnight tomorrow, he announced. But sentries, remain on duty, and the rest of you, stay alert. Across the way, we could make out groups of two or three men starting out of trenches, coming towards us. Then some of us were climbing out too, and in minutes more, there we were, in no man's land, over 100 soldiers and officers of each side shaking hands with men who'd been trying to kill just hours earlier. Only a couple of our men knew German, but more of the Germans knew English. I asked one of them why that was, and he said, because many of us have worked in England, he said. Even those who couldn't converse could still exchange gifts, our cigarettes for their cigars, our tea for their coffee, our corned beef for their sausage. Badges and buttons from uniforms changed owners, and one of our lads walked off with the infamous spiked helmet. I myself traded a jackknife leather equipment and a fine souvenir to show when I got there. Newspapers too changed hands, and the Germans howled with laughter at ours. They assured us that France was finished and Russia nearly beaten too. We told them that this was nonsense, and one of them said, well, you believe your newspapers, we'll believe ours. Clearly they are lying. Yet after meeting these men, I wonder how truthful our own newspapers would be. These are not the savage barbarians we read so much about. They're men with homes and families, hopes and fears, principles, and yes, love of country. In other words, men like ourselves. Why are we led to believe otherwise? As it grew late, a few more songs were traded around the fire, and then we parted with promises to meet again tomorrow, and even some talk of a football match. I was just starting back to the trenches when an older German touched my arm. My God, he said, why cannot we have peace and all go home? I told him gently, at that you must ask your emperor. He looked at me, searchingly. Perhaps, my friend, we must ask our hearts. And so, dear sister, tell me, has there ever been such a Christmas Eve in all history? And what does it all mean, this impossible befriending of enemies? For the fighting here, of course, it means regrettably little. Decent fellows, those soldiers may be, but they follow orders, and we do the same. Besides, we had to stop their army and send it home. And never could we shirk that duty. Still, one cannot help imagine what would happen if the spirit shown here were caught by the nations of the world. Of course, disputes must always arise. But what if our leaders were to offer good wishes in place of warnings, songs in place of slurs, presents in place of reprisals? Would not all war end at once? All nations say they want peace. Yet on this Christmas morning, I wonder